The Flint water crisis has dominated Michigan news for months, but even by that standard, the last 2 weeks have been eventful. A much-anticipated report from Governor Rick Snyder's Flint Water Advisory Task Force emphasized the role of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality in the failure. Still, the governor was not spared. Among other recommendations, it said the governor's office needs to include more people and more departments in the decision-making process. It also described the episode as an example of environmental injustice. Meanwhile, critics continue to call for Governor Snyder's resignation because of Flint. A short while ago, I spoke with Snyder administration spokesman Ari Adler. I first asked about the impact of FEMA's decision late last week to extend emergency status to Flint through August.
Well, certainly it's a positive that we were able to get the FEMA extension. That helps us with additional federal resources that we've been using. It takes us all the way through August. So hopefully we will be in a position then when things will be moving along better in Flint in terms of water delivery, and state resources will have to continue to fill in any gaps after that date.
What are those resources?
Well, primarily we're looking at bottled water, water filters, filter cartridge replacements, anything that we can do in terms of having a water available to people, but then also the secondary step of treating the pipes that are in the ground to make sure that they get that coating put back on that the corrosive water took away, which is what led to the lead leaching from the pipes, and then also looking at what we can do to replace pipes that need to be replaced in Flint.
Will it create a serious challenge come August when it expires?
Well, we're hopeful that it won't, that we're going to be in a good enough position at that point that it won't be a problem. But certainly, we are continuing to work with the federal government. The governor is working with members of Congress and the Senate in Washington to try to get additional funding. Primarily, there's a bill in there that could provide some funding to help us with replacement of lead service lines and pipes in Flint.
Last week, the governor attended the release of the findings of the Flint Water Task Force. Among those findings was that his staff relied on too few people in too few departments, and it recommended expanding the information flow to Mr. Snyder. Is that something the administration is receptive to and plans to implement?
Absolutely, and some of that is already underway. You know, the governor and others of us here in the administration now are saying that not enough questions were asked, or they weren't asked, and the answers weren't demanded correctly. And so that was a concern over, as you look back now, it's much easier to look back now and put all of the pieces of the puzzle together. But clearly what we have said here in the governor's office is that we are going to demand more answers from state departments when issues arise. And, we're going to question those answers that don't feel right for whatever reason. The governor has said he looks back every day and wonders what we could have done differently. And a lot of that has to do with, when you have the experts in the state departments telling you the water is fine, that it is safe, but you are continually hearing about the complaints. You have independent experts who are saying there are concerns. And unfortunately, it was proven that the state departments were wrong. The independent experts were correct, and we need to be more mindful of that moving forward.
The report also recommended a review of the state's emergency manager law because very important checks and balances, it claims anyway, are lost or in jeopardy. How does the governor feel about that recommendation, and is there a plan for a review?
We are going to be reviewing everything that came up in that Water Task Force report. The governor, within just two or three weeks of declaring the emergency and finding out exactly what was going on in Flint, getting things moving forward in terms of dealing with the immediate emergency and the crisis there in Flint, then started to look at what happened and how it happened. So he appointed this independent task force and that was very independent, and he said, go find what happened to the best of your knowledge and your ability, and they did that. And so they came up with 44 total recommendations. We have about 25 of those that we've checked off not as being done, but at least in process, the things we've already started to address. Among those is a look at the emergency manager law. In many, many cases in Michigan, that law has worked very well to get local control restored to a financially stable municipality or a school district. But in this case, there may have been some shortcomings in terms of how the water treatment plant was handled. We had an emergency manager there in place. Emergency manager was in charge when the decision was made to switch to the Flint River for water source, but it fell upon the state as a responsibility. They did not require the city to use corrosion control, and that's what led to the problems with the pipes. But, you know, we also had a situation where soon after that switch had happened, the mayor was given direct control over the day-to-day operations of the water treatment plant. But there is some question about, you know, what were the checks and balances that were in place to make sure everyone was doing what they should have been doing. So the governor's open to reviewing that and seeing if there are improvements that can be made. He'll look at them.
We're talking with Ari Adler, spokesman for the administration of Governor Rick Snyder. Does the governor think he was treated fairly in Washington by the House Oversight Committee? It got very intense. He was subjected to some pretty harsh evaluations.
Well, the governor thought it was important to go there. That's why he volunteered to testify when they brought those committee hearings together. He thought it was important to go and answer the questions that certainly came from Congress, but were really being raised on behalf of the people of Flint and the people of Michigan. And from the beginning, he has apologized for what happened. He's taken responsibility. He believes that it was a failure of government at all levels, local, state, and federal. The only thing that he has control over is state government, so he's going to do everything he can to address the problems that caused what happened in Flint and caused this water crisis, to see what we can do to make sure that it never happens again.
But does he feel he was treated fairly?
That's really a personal question for him. I know, you know, watching the testimony and watching the questions that were raised, I mean, it is a very unusual format that they use there. I don't think most people watch that normally and realize how that is done. And really anybody who appears before those committees is put on the hot seat and is challenged. They don't always get an opportunity to respond to the questions that are asked. But, you know, the governor was there to do what he could do and to share the information that he had, and I think he feels he had a chance to do that.
As fate would have it, the Detroit Free Press yesterday had three specific recommendations for the governor. Headline here, three things Snyder is still getting wrong about Flint. I'd like to ask you about those. One seems to echo a finding of the task force. They raised the issue of environmental injustice and urged the governor to acknowledge that Flint happened in part because it is a poor community and a community predominantly of people of color. What does the governor make of that charge?
Well, certainly there is no decision that was made specifically because of anyone's particular race or what the population of a city is. It was a mistake that was made at the city level to not include corrosion control when the Flint River was used for the water source. It was a failure at the state level because the DEQ did not follow up. They did not require their corrosion control, and then when questions were raised about that by independent water experts, instead of the DEQ reevaluating what it was doing, it simply went into a defensive posture and kept pushing people off. You have the EPA, when their water expert found a red flag and said, what is going on in Flint, and started to issue memos about it, that those were pushed aside, and everyone just sort of went back into the bureaucratic process. So, you know, it wasn't a situation where a decision was made because of race. What you are finding in situations like this, though, is that when you have a city that has socioeconomic challenges like Flint does with unemployment and education issues and everything else that's going on there, it can be much more difficult to recover. And that's why the governor's plan to restore the water in Flint is really about restoring Flint as a city. So we're looking at not just what's going on with water and water quality, but also looking at health care and education and jobs and economic development to help bring that city forward and help it move forward again.
The governor seemed to struggle a bit, though, responding to a question about this last point, environmental injustice and the importance of race in this whole thing. He said, quote, I don't know if you can conclude it was a racial issue by any means, but I don't know. Is this an aspect of the Flint emergency that he has not considered closely?
I think he has considered everything closely. This has been very, very important to the governor to try to figure out what caused these problems and how to fix it. And so that is something that we are going to be reviewing everything that was involved. And, you know, certainly this question of environmental justice has been raised here in Flint and across the country when things have happened. But, you know, we're really looking at if there were something that occurred because Flint is a poorer city, or is having economic problems or anything else that might be involved, what can we do to correct that? And that's really what we're looking for, is how do we look to the future? How do we make Flint come out of this better than it ever was. It's unfortunate and horrible that we have this crisis, that we have people who don't have water in their kitchens and their baths. I mean, it's one of those things you take it for granted. You just turn on the faucet and the water is there and it's expected to be safe. So we have to deal with that first, but then we have to figure out how do we help Flint recover as a whole and help the people move forward.
The paper also claims that Mr. Snyder still hasn't heard directly from the people of Flint, and it urges him to meet with them face-to-face to take the heat, in their words. First of all, are they right? Has the governor not met face-to-face, town hall style, with the people of Flint?
Well, the governor has had a number of teletown halls calls are made, and people can talk directly to the governor by the phone. It's a little easier. You can reach out to thousands of people at once who can talk to the governor directly or hear what's going on, hear answers from him and from people in the administration directly. So we've reached thousands and thousands of people in Flint doing it that way. There was at least one town hall one of the local TV stations put on that we had. Rich Baird, who's the director of our Mission Flint team, and Lieutenant Governor were there. When we are hearing from people constantly through a lot of sources, and the governor is meeting with people, including the mayor of Flint and a lot of opinion leaders in Flint. He's met with concerned pastors. He met with a lot of people. We have not had a direct town hall meeting. There is some question about, I would think, yes, it allows people to vent, but does it really get anything solved? And we would look at that and have to take that into consideration.
I'm thinking it might very well have some pretty powerful you make an understandable point. It may just be primarily about letting citizens vent, understandably, but I'm wondering if they don't have a point that there is some value here to meeting directly with citizens. Is this the kind of thing that you're revisiting or might revisit?
Well, I don't think anything has been dismissed by the governor. I mean, he's willing to look at whatever he can do to help Flint move forward. So certainly we're taking everything that's being suggested under advisement, and we'll have to look at what the governor's available for and what we can do to help get him in contact with people in Flint, to help get people to work together, to come together to solve this problem.
Finally, the paper says the governor should launch a legal defense fund to pay for representation in the court actions that have been filed. Instead, he's apparently pursuing publicly funded representation by private sector firms. Why not a legal defense fund?
Well, there's no sort of criminal activity that occurred, and that's generally when you would use a legal defense fund. The activities that happened, whether it was the governor or state, was all done in the role of as public servant. I mean, it's much like the Attorney General's office, for example, represents state employees, those that it feels it has a conflict with. There are some folks, for example, from the DEQ that have private representation that is being paid for by the state. It is because the work that they were doing was in public service, and so the use of state dollars is considered appropriate for that.
According to an Epic MRA poll from last week, 41% of Michigan citizens think the governor should resign over his role in the water crisis. What is the governor's current thinking about that option?
The governor plans on staying put and solving this problem. He is not the type of person to walk away from a problem. I think people have seen that throughout his tenure, that he is going to tackle a problem and he's going to solve it by bringing people together, figuring out the best way forward through a problem. He's not concerned about blame. He's not concerned about credit. He hasn't been that way all the way through his administration. It's really about what is the problem that needs to be fixed. And, he personally feels like the guy in charge of fixing the problem is the person who had to stand up and take responsibility for it. And while the governor did not personally make decisions about whether to treat the water for corrosion or not in Flint, people that worked for him throughout the bureaucracy of state government fall under his control. And so he has stood up and taken responsibility for it. And he is very passionate now about fixing this. And as the governor has said, who has more passion about fixing the problem than the person who feels responsible for it? And so that's how he feels about it. He's here to stay and he's here to solve it.
Ari Adler is a spokesman for the administration of Governor Rick Snyder. Ari, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.